Welcome, everyone, to our deep dive into, well, the Gospel of Matthew. It's going to be intense, almost like a mini course, all packed into, you know, one book. We're going way beyond just reading it. We're going to explore all the intricate details.
Sounds exciting.
It is. What's really cool is it's not just some religious text, right? It's history, it's stories, it's leadership, it's ethics, all woven together.
I like that, woven together.
So get ready. We've got structure to unpack, key themes to dig into. We'll look at Jesus's birth, early life, miracles, those parables everyone's heard of. And we'll even see, you know, how relevant this stuff is even today. Buckle up.
What's always fascinated me about Matthew is he was writing for a Jewish audience. Like, he's building a bridge between the Old Testament and what's new with Jesus, showing how it all connects. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy right there in the text.
That's a great point, that connection. And speaking of connections, the way Matthew structured his gospel, it's five parts, almost like mirroring the Torah, the first five books of the Jewish Bible. Yeah. That can't be a coincidence, right?
No way. It's deliberate. Matthew's showing Jesus as this new Moses, a teacher like the prophets, and day the Messiah all at once.
And throughout Matthew, he keeps pointing back to the Old Testament saying, see, it was all foretold.
Exactly. He's establishing Jesus's legitimacy for a Jewish audience. For them, the scriptures were everything, so these connections were super important.
Okay, so let's rewind to the beginning. The gospel starts with the super detailed genealogy of Jesus. It's like more than just a family tree, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a statement. Tracing Jesus all the way back to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, and King David, their greatest king. He's laying the groundwork for Jesus's authority, both religiously and politically, which mattered a lot to the Jews.
Then we have this whole thing with the Magi, these wise men from the East, guided by a star. It's always intrigued me. What's the deeper meaning there?
Well, for one, it shows Jesus is important from the very start, not just for Jews, but the gifts they bring. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, those are symbolic too. Gold for a king, frankincense for worship, and myrrh. Well, they use that for burial. Foreshadowing there.
Wow, I never caught that about the myrrh. Okay, and then we can't forget the escape to Egypt, running from Herod. It's like a little action movie in the Bible.
Definitely adds drama. But think about it. It's like the Exodus story all over again, fleeing persecution. Matthew's connecting Jesus to Moses, another deliverer of his people.
That's a really cool link. So speaking of powerful teachings, we got to talk about the Sermon on the Mount, right? Like Jesus's greatest hits all in one place.
One of the most famous parts, for sure. And those Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. Those weren't just nice sayings. They were radical, turning everything upside down.
I can imagine. So what about something like love your enemies? That seems almost impossible, especially back then when strength and revenge were expected.
Right. Jesus is turning the norms on their head. It's not about outward rules. It's about inner change. And that changes how we act.
And then there's the Lord's Prayer. People have been saying that for centuries. There's got to be more to it than just the words themselves, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's a model for how we connect with God, how we should act. It's personal AD. It's about God's will being done in the world. It's a prayer for change inside and out.
Okay, so Matthew's gospel, it's also full of miracles and healings. It's like a special effects blockbuster. Healings, exorcisms, even nature doing what Jesus says.
Well, wow. It's definitely dramatic. But each miracle has a purpose. It shows Jesus's power, but also his compassion. And those two things go hand in hand.
Like when he heals the leper, right? Back then, you couldn't even touch lepers. They were outcasts. Jesus breaks that barrier.
Powerful image, right? Shows God's power over sickness, but also it's like he's saying those social rules don't matter to God. Everyone's worthy of his love.
Okay, so last thing for now. Got to mention the parables. Matthew loves a good parable. Stories that make you think, like little brain teasers.
They're deceptively simple, though. You think you get it, then bam, there's a whole deeper meaning underneath. They stick with you. That's the point.
Like the parable of the sower, right? Seeds on different soil. Some grow, some don't. It's about being ready to hear the message, I guess.
Yep. And the parable of the lost sheep. God goes searching for every single one, even if they seem lost forever. Powerful stuff.
It really makes you think how a text from so long ago, it can still speak to us today.
You know, that's the thing about Matthew's gospel. The themes, they go beyond any one culture or time period. It's like human experience woven through it.
I like that. Makes you wonder, what would Matthew himself focus on if he was writing, like now? What would a parable for the internet age look like?
Fascinating question. He was so good at taking ordinary stuff, you know, farming, sheep, family, and showing these deep truths in them.
Okay, so Matthew, year 2024, what situations, what would he use to get people thinking?
Well, think about what grabs our attention now. Maybe he'd do a parable about algorithms, you know, social media, how they shape what we see, even lead us to fake news and all that. Like, imagine a digital shepherd, but he leads his sheep astray, not to good pastures, but to these carefully curated feeds, keeping them from the truth, from real connection.
Ooh, that's kind of creaky, but it fits with all those warnings Matthew gives, you know, false prophets, being deceived. Like, don't just swallow what you see online. Think for yourself. Be careful what you believe.
Right, and then he might flip it around, show how tech can be good too.
Yeah.
A digital sower, maybe, spreading kindness online, building communities that go beyond borders, bringing people together.
That's a nice contrast. Reminds me of the Great Commission, going to all nations. Maybe today those nations are online too.
That's a great point. It shows how adaptable Matthew's message is. Love, justice, compassion, actively following Jesus, those are always relevant, even if the way we live out changes.
Speaking of challenging stuff, one thing that always hits me in Matthew, how straight up Jesus is with the religious leaders. He doesn't hold back calling them out, "You're hypocrites."
Yeah, that tension's there throughout the gospel. You've got the Pharisees, the scribes, all about appearances, rules, holding on to their power.
And Jesus comes in and just disrupts it all. Interchange over rituals, real compassion, not just laws, and loving your enemies.
Yeah.
Still feels relevant today.
Absolutely. Matthew's making us look at ourselves, you know. Do we care more about looking good or actually doing good?
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, but it's how we grow.
It's like that idea you mentioned, the kingdom of heaven. It's not just later, after we die. It's and now it too.
Very important. Matthew's showing us God's kingdom is breaking through with Jesus, and we're part of it. It's building a just world, loving people one step at a time.
Love how you tied that in. It's like, don't just wait for the world to get better. Be the change. Live it out in your own life, in your community, everywhere.
That's it. And it speaks to everyone, religious or not. Being good, fair, loving others, that's universal, you know? It's deep down in us.
So we've got parables for today, calling out hypocrisy, that kingdom of heaven idea. What else from Matthew jumps out at you? Stuff that still matters now.
Well, Matthew really stresses that faith and action go together. It's not just what you believe in your head. It's got to show on how you live.
Makes sense. The Great Commission, it's not about making people believe the same things. It's about making disciples, showing them how to follow Jesus, walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Right on. And that means more than just being good personally. It's serving others, speaking up for those who need help, working for justice.
It's like he's saying, don't just talk about it, do it. Love isn't just words, it's action. Want a better world? Get out there and make it happen.
Love that energy. And it makes us look at our own WN lives, right? Are we living what we believe? Making a difference. It's easy to get comfortable, but Matthew's pushing us further.
It's challenging, for sure. But he doesn't leave us to figure it out alone, right? He keeps talking about the Holy Spirit helping us, giving us strength.
So true. It's like having this partner in the journey, helping us do what we couldn't on our own. It's hope. It's encouragement. Even when things are tough.
Gives you that boost you need sometimes. Like, don't be afraid to step out, to fight for what's right, to love, even when it hurts. You've got this power inside you. Eat, you're not alone. There's a whole community with you.
That community part's huge in Matthew, too. Yeah. We need each other to support, encourage, work together for that kingdom of heaven to become real.
Reminds me of that image, the church as the body of Christ. Everyone has their part, their gifts, all working together.
Exactly. And Matthew shows it's a diverse bunch too, all
right.
Kinds of people, each one bringing something to the table. That's how we show God's love fully, you know.
I like that. A big, messy, beautiful group. It means we're not meant to do this alone. We need each other to stay strong, keep going.
Totally. Yeah. So we've got faith in action, the Spirit helping us, community, diversity. Remember, there's so much packed into Matthew's gospel.
It's amazing, right? And we're just scratching the surface here. It's a book full of wisdom, stuff that still speaks to us today. So glad we're doing this together. I'm seeing things in a new way, realizing how relevant it still is.
Me too. It reminds me, studying the Bible isn't just about information. It's about letting it change us. You know,
it's wild, right? Matthew ties together like personal stuff, social justice, community, what it means to follow Jesus. It's not just random bits and pieces. It all fits together, makes you want to live differently.
That's why it stuck around so long. It's not just about believing stuff. It's about like becoming a certain kind of person, someone who cares, wants justice, actually makes a difference.
So big question as we wrap this up. What are the big takeaways for people listening? If you had to boil it down, what's at the heart of Matthew's message?
That's a good one. I'd say that radical love thing, it's huge. Not just feeling lovey-dovey, but love that changes things, love that includes your enemies. That's what it means to truly follow Jesus, according to Matthew.
That's tough, especially these days, right? Everyone's fighting, looking out for number one. Loving someone who hurts you, that's like the opposite of what we're told to do.
Exactly. That's what makes it so powerful. It's going against our instincts, you know, saying everyone matters, even if they're different, even if they messed you over.
It's like he's saying, don't let anger run the show. Don't let fear or judging people control you. Choose love, even when it's the hardest thing to do. That's where you find freedom, where things actually change.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
And right alongside that, there's this focus on justice, especially for people who are pushed down, mistreated. Mm. Throughout Matthew, Jesus is on their side, calling out the systems that keep things unfair.
Yeah, it's not just about your own little spiritual bubble, right? Faith goes out into the world. It's fixing what's broken, fighting for fairness, making sure everyone has a chance.
That's it. Matthew connects the personal and the social. You work on your own heart, but you also work to change the world, make it a place where justice and love can actually grow.
Like you're taking care of your own garden, but also making sure the whole neighborhood has good soil so everything can flourish.
Love that. And as we're doing all this, remember, Matthew says we're not doing it alone. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's there guiding us, giving us the power to do stuff we couldn't on our own.
That's a good reminder. It's like having backup, someone to lean on when you're tired, unsure, that little nudge to keep going.
Totally. And we've got the community too, other believers, all working together. Like we're all part of this team working for the same goal.
We talked about that before, the body of Christ, right? Everyone's got their part to play, their strengths, their way of contributing.
Absolutely. And within that, there's room for everyone, different ideas, different experiences. That's what makes it beautiful, you know? Like God's love, it's big enough for everyone.
So we've got love, justice, that Holy Spirit booth, community diversity. Matthew covers a lot of ground.
Right. It's incredible. And we've only just dipped our toes in, really. It's a book you can keep coming back to, finding new things, letting it challenge you as you change and grow.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left with like this feeling of awe, you know? Matthew challenges us, but he also comforts us, encouraging us to live better, fuller lives.
I feel that too. It's not just an old book, it's a living thing, something that can change us, change the world around us.
So what's next? People have been listening to us. What do we want them to do with all this? What's the takeaway?
I hope they go back to Matthew, read it with fresh eyes, let it surprise them, make them think, you know, find that fire to live out their faith in a real meaningful way.
I love that. It's not just head knowledge. It's got to get into your heart and out into the world.
Exactly. It's asking yourself, what does this ancient stuff have to do with my life in NW? How can I use this in my relationships, my community, with the problems I'm facing?
It's not just reading it. It's letting it change you. Let Matthew guide your choices, your actions.
Couldn't have said it better. And remember, this isn't a one-time thing. Keep coming back to Matthew. Let it speak to you in different ways as you go through life. Mm-hmm. It's a journey, you know?
Like having a wise friend, someone who knows you, challenges you, but is always there for you.
I like that. So to everyone listening, keep exploring, keep digging into the stuff that matters, the stuff that shapes who you are.
It's been awesome having this conversation. Thanks for sharing your insights with us. Really enjoyed diving into Matthew with you.
Me too. It's been a pleasure.
And to everyone listening, thanks for joining us. We hope you've gained something from this, a deeper understanding of Matthew and how it still speaks to us today.
And may we all go out and live out that love, that justice, that compassion that Matthew shows us, working together to make this world a little brighter, a little more like God's kingdom.
Until next time, keep searching, keep asking questions, and keep exploring those texts that make us think, make us better.